I'm looking at the junior and the senior prophets. That is the most pronounced gift in this church. Senior and junior prophets. That is the next one. Write it. Enemies of revival. Relationship between senior and junior prophets. And that takes me straight to the story in 1 Kings chapter 13. Hallelujah. In 1 Kings chapter 13, the king, I think Jeroboam, am I correct? King Jeroboam, a king. Eh? Is it Jeroboam? Yes. Went and was, he went, all the abominations he was doing in the temple there. And God sent one young prophet to go there and prophesy to that altar. That God was going to raise a man that will come and offer the heads of all these your prophets, all these your priests, upon this same altar. He will offer their head in this same altar. And as a sign that this your altar will break in two, and the ashes of all this offering you have been offering this ash will pour down here. And while he came there, the king at the altar, who should not be there with all the abomination he was doing there, swept out his hand to say, arrest that man talking to me like that. The hand, kakaraka, dry up. Then you know, say, God, did they hear? And while it dried up, the sign that the prophet spoke immediately took place. That altar broke down to pieces and the ashes fell down. Then he said, I beg God, make him lift my hand. And he begged God, the hand was released. The king became sober. The king then called him and said, oh yeah, come now. Come to my house and take some refreshment. The young prophet remembered what God told him. God told me he said, even if you give me half of your kingdom, I will not take it. For God told me, I should not eat nor drink anything here. Even the way through which I came here, I should not follow the same way up. I should follow another way up. So, I am not going anywhere. Now go, I go. So, he took off. The news went round. One old prophet that didn't come to temple that day, his children went and told him, Daddy, come and see what we saw. He said, ha! Where did the man go? He said, he went that way. He took his ass and followed him and met him. Ah, young man! I am so prophet, so. I've been ministering before Brother Assembly started. Now we brought this message before William Branham started. Amen. He said, follow me home. He said, no. He told him, this is what God told me. He repeated the same thing. And the prophet said, I am a prophet like you. It is God that told me to come to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? It is God that told me to come for you. Was I in the temple? I was not in the temple now. Okay, since he's a fellow prophet, he decided to follow him. And came home. While they were eating, and we know the story, as he left, he was going, a lion came and killed him. And stood by. He didn't finish him, just kill and leave him there. And the news got to town. See, lion kill one man for road. The prophet said, it must be that man that disobeyed God. And he went there and carried the dead body and came back to town and buried him. Young minister, learn something from it. No man call you. Don't let any man influence you like that. Listen, if God speaks to you and he has told you anything and you are doing that thing, you honor, you are doing it. If he's going to make you change, The same God will speak to you, not by another man coming to talk to you. God allowed it to happen to test your loyalty. Are you going to be loyal to him that called you, or you are going to be influenced by some big dignitaries somewhere? That is how that man's ministry ended. And so many of us, that is how we have destroyed our ministries too. You have no focus. You have no vision. You do your ministry with respect to persons. You should have asked yourself that question, young prophet. But this prophet was in this city. Why didn't God send him to Jeroboam? Why did he send me from another city? It means he's dead. Amen. Enter message pastors. They have problem with me. They started long ago. And I started my own. And they want to teach me how to do ministry. And I resisted it. The one who that they do all these years, what do you achieve? What do I have to learn from you people? My brother from Akonjo, who once was challenging me. When somebody said, we are here with Brother Alu. And he said, Brother Alu is supposed to be my son, because it is through him I saw this entire message. They were the ones that converted us. But when I came out of Ikoyi prison, what I saw was contrary to what I read from the ministry of William Abraham. I was confused. And I had to leave that church. So he says, I am his son. He said, but he's supposed to be my son. I answered him immediately. I said, wait. When you say I am supposed to be your son, that means you are saying I don't know who my father is. I know who my father is. You are not my father. He said, the problem with you, Brother Moses, is that you refuse to learn and you just went and entered ministry. And I said, Haba, I came out of Ikoyi prison in 1990 and I started pastoral ministry in 1998. 9 years, you say, I never learned. Haba, I said, I started in your church. I learned something in your church. I went to another church. I learned something there. He said, you didn't learn anything here. I said, I learned something. When I was in your church, I learned how ministers fight in a church. Because when we went there, that's what they were doing. There was fight in that period. And I felt that these people, they would not destroy the revival in me. I left them. I'm telling you something. And they're getting angry with me. If I had remained with them, we will not be more than 100 people here. See, a young man in Port Harcourt, he may be watching me now. In Port Harcourt, he left one of those dead enter message churches. His wife, seriously gifted with a serious, both prophetic and deliverance gift. He left it to come and start ministry. Under 6 months in Port Harcourt, there were over 500 members. Under 6 months. Revival was going on there. Before you know what, they bought their land. They built a big auditorium. I lost contact with them for some time until one of the sisters here went there and visited the church. She was telling me that they don't reach 50 members there now. I said, what happened? He said, he is now John Ministry. And I called him. Brother, I understand you are now John Ministry. He said, eh. I said, so, no more prophecy in your church? He said, no. I understand that you people are very few now. He said, yes, so. And I say, the language I use, I say, they have bewitched you and see the effect and destroy your ministry. He listened to me. I spoke with him for nearly 1 hour on the phone. I was so burdened. I said, this spirit caught this young man. He was sounding confused. It's like, it's true. It's like, I made a wrong decision. I don't know. I said, you are joining them. Did it increase your ministry or it killed your ministry? Because that man does not believe in the gifts. To him, you have to accept him first as the next person after William Brown. Then he will now establish the fivefold ministry. He's the one that will appoint the prophet, appoint the evangelist, appoint the pastors, or anybody that is a pastor or evangelist. He said, you are only, what's the language? A potential. You are only potential evangelist, potential pastor, potential. Ha! Waiting for him to place everybody. He himself, you don't see anything. He himself cannot pray for stomach ache to stop, for headache to stop. Nothing spiritual around him other than intellectualism and big grammar and you know what philosophy is. He's a lawyer. Nothing. And you subject yourself to that old minister, you die. Oh! And it is the same people that kill you that will bury you. They're the same people that will bury you. When I look at some of these funeral services, elaborate funeral services, but the big juggernauts in Christianity, it is this story that comes to my mind every time. You will see them. The same people that kill them spiritually, refuse them to receive the Holy Ghost, refuse them to be baptized in Jesus' name, refuse them to receive eternal life. When they die, they are the same people that conduct their funerals. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God expects us to, we that are older ministers. Samuel and Eli, we read it in First Samuel chapter 3. Eli and Samuel. Samuel did not know, he did not know anything about gift. But he was sleeping, a voice called him. He ran to Eli, who was very old. Sir, you called me. Eli said, I didn't call you. He went to sleep again. The same voice called him that same night. He stood up again. You called me. Eli told him, I didn't call you. The third time it happened, Eli now taught him. When next you hear that voice, you say, Lord, speak for thy servant heareth. The old prophet, this one, taught the young prophet how to operate his gifts. And every one of us must be like that. When anybody's gift is coming up, draw them closer to you and bring them up on how to operate that gift. Like old Eli did. Praise the Lord. Rechabites. The sons of the Rechabites. We know their story in Jeremiah chapter 35. Reading from verse 1 up to verse 19. You must be bold enough, be sure of your calling. Be sure of your calling. Before you know what? A prophet Jeremiah, God told Jeremiah, go to the Rechabites, the sons of the Rechabites. Go there and give them wine to drink. Thus said the Lord. Thus said the Lord. What did they do? He took the wine. A dispensational prophet. Oh, whoa. A dispensational prophet. Said, thus said the Lord. Take this wine and drink. And they came, all of them, and told the prophet, we will not drink wine. We will not drink alcohol. Our father, because they were not Jews, our father told us that we should never drink alcohol. Even he told us, if for any reason we find ourselves in a strange land, we should not even own property there. We should live in tents. He said, we are here. This is the reason, you know. It was during so-so-so war that we ran away for safety. That's why we find ourselves here. So don't think we'll be here, we'll be doing things that others are doing here. Since our father told us from that time till now, none of us has tasted alcohol. We will not drink this alcohol. And God turned and told Jeremiah, can't you, Israel, learn something from them? The words of a man to his children, they have held on to it. But my own word to my own children, they refuse to keep it. And turn and bless that family forever. This is church. Hey, praise the Lord. One problem anti-message believers have with me is somebody sent me a text recently and then told me that William Branham, okay, I think during that vigil or so, I think it was Skype too, so, something like that, question and answer. He said, William Branham did not cover hair, even his own church. The members, the sisters were not covering their hair. Why? You say you're in the message. Why are you covering your hair? Another one, his problem with me is television. William Branham said the angel said he will not, and gave me several quotes that William Branham spoke against the television. And then, because of it, Brother Moses is not in the message. But here am I. Amen. I told them, I said, that William Branham came to bring me back to the Bible. He didn't come to give me another scripture. His ministry is to turn the heart of the children back to the heart of the apostolic fathers. Amen. Hallelujah. Very soon you will be saying, William Branham went to toilet once in a day. Brother Moses, why do you go to toilet once in 3 days? You see? Praise the Lord. Amen. Because I am following the scripture and the leading of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There must be something that you are anchored in. Man did not call me. Man will not destroy my ministry. Enemies of revival. If this revival will continue, you must take a definite stand. Must take a definite stand. That's why Matthew 11, verse 7, he said, who did you go for to see concerning John the Baptist? A reed shaking with the wind. He said, a type of person that this way we blow it there, this way we blow it there, this way we blow it there. That man in Port Harcourt, he had no anchor. If he had anchor, his ministry wouldn't have been destroyed by any John ministry anywhere. That's how we must be. There must be something you believe in and you stand upon. It will help you to keep this revival going. It will help you. Satan cannot destroy you. Jude verse 3 and verse 4. He said, contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Contend. It means there will be attempt to deviate. Contend. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. He said, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. Speaks that we should no longer be tossed about by every wind of doctrine. And 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Apostle Paul said, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me. Hold fast. Hold fast. The next one is Achan in the camp. It works against revival. Achan in the camp. That's number what? Number 9. Achan in the camp. We know the story of Achan. God told Joshua, anywhere the soles of your feet will tread, that place I gave you. Hallelujah. And every battle they went, they defeated. Until they came to Joshua chapter 7, from verse 1 to verse 26. Amen. Before they knew what, one Israelite had brought a Babylonish garment into the camp of Israel. And once you are in a battlefield, then you don't bring strange gods among you. It was against the principle for victory. And before you know what, in that estate, they went to a battle. A battle that the first, the people were too small. Just take like 3,000 people only and go. You just finish there and we'll take over that city. They went and they suffered humiliation and a very serious defeat. And Joshua knew this is contrary. This is contrary to the promise of God for me. What did he do? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And that is what every ministry must do. Watch. When you begin to see things happening in the ministry that should not happen. People are dying anyhow in the church. Funny things are happening around that should not happen. The pastor, the leader should be sensitive enough to withdraw and seek the face of the Lord. And that's exactly what Joshua did. And then they discovered there was a Babylonian garment in their midst. And church, we have the accuser of the brethren that will stop you from having victory in your spiritual life. Here in this ministry, if you want to be part of the revival in this ministry, what we have preached and showed to you by the scripture, what we stand for as being unholy, keep it away from your life. Keep it away from your homes. Keep it away from the ministry. Keep it away. If not, you will be a loser in every battle, including the one we want to fight now. You will be a loser. You know that nonsense you put on your head is contrary. Go and remove it if you want to be part of this revival. If not, the anointing you receive, Satan will come and pour cold water and you will become starchy. It's true. Any of this nonsense thing you put, those pornographic materials in your home, they are abomination. Anything that is abomination, put it away. It is not allowed in the camp of the Israelites. Put it away. Strange things. That's why in the feast of Bethel, 24,000 died. They were there crying and crying. While they gathered, they were crying. Small time. One of them there went and brought one Midianitish woman into the camp. Enter tent. Others are crying. You carry her home. Go enter tent again. The thing will make us, they die here like fowl. You carry one. Before you know what, Phinehas, out of a holy anger. There is holy anger. There is holy anger. That is the problem with ministries. That's the problem. The problem with ministry is people are not ready to stand up. You live, you think that the correction, the ministry, the duty of sanitization of the church belong to certain people, not for you. Every one of us here is our responsibility. If you see Boko Haram somewhere, you don't report. It is your life you are endangering in Nigeria now. You will say, I know the police at the goal. If you see a brother, and it's very common in this ministry, very common in this ministry, that somebody, you know, Christian tradition, as soon as you go and pay dowry, you will come and stay with your husband. You don't become your husband. Then you are now preparing for wedding. Then when it is time for wedding, then they will come and simulate, act, dramatize, righteousness. The father will go to your husband's house and pick you and hold you. He's coming to the pastor. How does it even sound to the man to join you in the church? Then they enter different cars. The man enter different car. Man and woman went sleep together for the same room, for the same bed yesterday. Then the man carry motor. The woman carry her own as if she's coming from her father's house. The man carry his own as if his that nonsense must stop. Ekike, that nonsense must stop. Pastor Thomas, that nonsense must stop in this ministry. This ministry must stop. It's very painful, though. To see they talk one thing here, then they do another one. You consider yourself. Is it proper that you sleep with a man before you come to be joined as husband and wife? Is it proper? And but he has paid my dowry. Listen, church, let me make this very clear. Once a man has paid your dowry, yes, he becomes your husband. Watch. If you decide from the traditional marriage to go to live with him, you have not sinned, but you have put God out of that marriage. That is the meaning. Yet you have not sinned. So don't come back after you have put him away to come back to bring him in again. The only way you will bring him in is for you to come for the minister to bless your marriage that you have already contracted. But you will not come and exchange vows at the altar. And then say any impediment, when I don't chop, this one say, no. No. This one say, no. This one say, no. Before the pillar of fire, you are lying. When trouble begins to happen in that marriage, then you say, I don't have married this useless wife. Don't marry anything, for whatever you sow, you will reap. Reap it. Reap it. I repeat, you are free to move and live with your husband if you don't want white marriage. You don't want wedding at the altar. You are free. Once you come after traditional marriage on Sunday, you and your wife come to my office. Pastor, we don't do amo. We just say, make you come bless us. You will need that in my office and I will bless the marriage. You have not sinned. But don't live together and come and tell marriage committee our wedding date. We want pick date. Which date? That one is even more honorable. What of Christian sisters and brothers? I will marry you. Me too, I will marry you. Then give me engagement ring so that brothers don't go to disturb me. Then after that, now your house today. Now there will be a cook. Half of your cloth, they there. Half of your cloth, they your mama house. Christian brother, Christian sister. You are a shame, a disgrace to the gospel. And you don't know it. Come, what do you have as your testimonial of a Christian? What is it you use that you can use and tell the world that makes me different from you, the world? What do you use? It's more than dressing. It's more than dressing without a ring. It's more than that, brother. What do you use to differentiate yourself from unbelievers doing boyfriend and girlfriend? What do you use? So a lot of us claim we are in the message. Which message? Upon all you are hearing here, you live in fornication. He said, you will marry me. He said, you will marry me. He said, you will marry me. Amen. And that's why Watch every one of you that do that. Either of these two things usually happen. I'm not cursing. I'm only calling your attention to what always happens. Number one, that marriage, after you marry, never find peace. Watch it. No peace. It is God Himself that is doing it. It's true. Or, if He never marry you, that relationship scatters. Before you know what, the man say, now that time they remember saying, Mama say, you know, if you marry from Mbano, they say marry from Mbano. And you don't know that you are paying for your sin. Paying for your sin. It's wrong. Let the sinner repent in the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's why he said in verse 12 of 1 Timothy chapter 6, he said, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight it. A fight there or contend is not with hand. It's a decision. You say, I will not defile this body till I marry. Till I marry. I will not defile this body. I will not test alcohol. I will not lie for any reason. I will not do that. I will not steal. I will not take anything that does not belong to me. I will not do that. And remember, each time you make that decision, you will be tempted with it. You will be tempted with it. Now, the action of resisting that temptation is the fight. Fight the good fight of faith. That you are able to conquer it and refuse to do it makes you an overcomer. And every Christian, we have things we battle with. We battle with. We battle with. I'm happy at the silence that is going on now. Because so many people here are guilty of what I'm saying. May this silence pierce your heart and bring godly sorrow that worketh repentance in the name of Jesus. It's true now. You look at Jacob. Jacob, hallelujah. When he was leaving Laban, Rachel stole Laban's gods, whatever idols he had. And Laban found that out. Laban had a legitimate reason to pursue Jacob. He pursued him. And when he pursued him, amen, and he was meaning to go and finish Jacob until God came to him in a dream in the night and warned him not to touch Jacob. Because God knew that Jacob was not guilty of it. And we saw what happened. Praise the Lord. That story is in Genesis chapter 31. When Laban finally got to Jacob, a search unknown to Jacob, Rachel had that that idol of her father there. We know how she dodged it. Jacob was so sure, said, search everywhere, anything you see here, don't hold me guilty. Because he knew he left only with his own. He didn't carry anything that belonged to him. And then Rachel went and put it under her and sat down. Rachel moved and I said, you know, they do menses. I know this, and meanwhile she was sitting on it. No wonder, praise the Lord, she is the only one that in the time of delivery, she died. She died. She used her womb and lied, sitting on an idol. That womb was cursed. She died in childbirth. But watch it. As we get to chapter 35, Jacob had an experience earlier now, how Laban chased him. Now, they were to move to Bethel. By the time they got to Bethel, praise the Lord. By the time they were to move, quickly, Jacob called all his family. The God of my father said I should go to Bethel. Raise an altar there and offer my sacrifice to him according to my vow. Now, therefore, put away all the strange gods. Watch it. They put away their earrings. They put away strange. It's strange. Strange, it means anything that should not be found in the Israelite of God, Israel of God. And trouser is strange in Christianity for a woman. Earring is strange. That's why they remove the earring and put it under that oak tree before going to God's presence. And to dress and expose your body is strange. You want to wear short skirt, sister? Why do you want man to see your laps? It's strange. It's strange for a woman, Christian woman, to dress like a prostitute. Why do you want to advertise your sacredness, your sacred body? Why do you want people to see your breasts? Why do you want people to see your pants? Why do you want people to see your back? Why do you want? The latest one now is they wear net on top. They wear something and put net on top. They put net. So that you will see what they're wearing. I said so that someone could cover everywhere. They're carrying mosquito net put. When somebody does not want to convert, when you say don't do it, you say okay, then I go do it like this. Amen. It's strange. Take note of it. These things are there for us to learn how to walk with God. And as they put away all the strange things, the revival continued. The Bible says, all the land they passed through, they were shaking. They were shaking, afraid, as Jacob was passing with his family. Fear came upon everywhere. As you obey the word of the Lord, anywhere you go, including your village, when they know you are around, fear will catch every witch and wizard in the name of Jesus Christ. Because the revival you receive goes with a fire all over you. It is that fire that the enemy sees and stays away. Don't let it quench. Don't let it quench. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Finally, strange fire, number 10. Don't allow strange fire. Let me tell you how strange fire comes in. When a gift starts, somebody will come and give you advice that you should go and do something so that that gift can be better. That is what makes some men of God go and get something to enhance their gifts. We have heard it. We have confirmed it. From stories happening in the denominations especially, don't let it come in the entire message. Where they do a lot of funny, funny things for smoke to come out, for fire to come out, for, you know, funny, funny things. Anything that is enhanced, anything that you use to enhance the grace of God in your life is a strange fire you are bringing upon the genuine fire of the Holy Ghost. Don't contaminate it. God that gave you that gift, He operates a principle of sowing and growing, the seed growing. You don't receive any gift and operate very high at the same time. You will grow in it. You will grow. And what makes you to grow is because you use that gift. And you use it obediently and humbly in humility. Follow it. A sanctified life. Living a life of holiness. Studying the word. Do things that will enhance your gift spiritually. Don't go and bring any strange fire. It will not work. You did not receive that gift by somebody laying hand on you. Don't go to anybody to lay hand on you for the anointing to come back. Was it by laying hand on you the anointing started? Why then do you want it to come back by somebody laying hand on you? That is when things are projected without you knowing to kill the revival. Wait on the Lord. Withdraw yourself. Lord, what did I do wrong? Be sincere. I know I did this. I know I've been disobedient. Now I repent. Forgive me. Like Samson. One more chance, Lord. You are a God of second chance. When you do that, the fire will come back. Hallelujah. I don't finish. Enemies of revival. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Tell your neighbor, watch and pray. Say it. Say it very well. Tell everybody. Tell five people around you.